Your Bibles tonight, if you will, to the book of Psalms. We're looking at Psalm 1. Last week we looked at the path of the godly. Tonight I want to look at the prosperity of the godly. We looked at verses 1 and 2. Last week we're going to look at verse 3. This week I'm going to read all three verses just to get the context there. Psalm 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's a mouthful. Verse 3 alone. And hopefully we'll give you some things to meditate on this week as we finish looking at verse 3. In 1973, NASA launched something called Skylab, America's first space station. The astronauts aboard noticed something unusual while growing plants in zero gravity. Although the plants had access to light and air and water, the roots didn't grow down. Instead, they just grew in circles. They had no natural sense of where to send their roots. And so, as a result, their growth was stunted, it was disoriented, and they did not grow. NASA's experiments confirmed what farmers and foresters have known for centuries. A plant needs more than just nutrients. It needs the right environment, direction, stability, and a place to root. Psalm 1 describes the blessed man like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, that's not an accident. We're going to look at that in just a little bit. But it is intentional. Just like those plants in the Skylab, our spiritual growth depends on where we're rooted. When a believer delights in God's Word, he's not just randomly growing. His roots aren't going around in circles, but he's purposely planted by the stream of divine truth. And what follows is the supernatural prosperity of a life that is firmly grounded in the Word of God. So let's look at what happens when a person delights in God's Word and chooses then to stay planted by that river of water. First thing I want you to see tonight is that he is planted on purpose. Look at that first phrase of verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Now, let's start with the very obvious. The tree is not wild. It didn't just spring up by accident. It's not like some weed that's come up between the cracks of the sidewalk. It was planted. Someone chose that location, a place where that tree would not just survive, but it would thrive. And that's what God said the blessed man is like, a tree planted on purpose right where it can grow the best. I called somebody today. I was looking for some blueberry bushes. When are we supposed to plant blueberry bushes? They said the spring or fall. And they wouldn't have any again until the third week of September. I'm not telling you where, because I want to be able to go get some, all right? I don't want anybody to beat me on that. But with that, you have to plant it in a certain place, in the right kind of soil, and the right kind of amount of sunlight. And all of these things come together to bring fruit. I think there's a reason the Scripture doesn't compare the godly man to some kind of shooting star or some wave on the sea, although it could be massive and tempestuous, or some wildfire that may start. Although those things are flashy, but guess what else they are? They're unstable. They're temporary. They're short-lived. But a tree is stable. It's rooted down. It grows slowly but surely. Here's the key, I think, of Psalm 1 right here, of verse 3. The tree is planted by the rivers of water. Not in a desert, not on some rocky ledge about to fall off the side, not even in someone's shallow pot sitting on their porch, but it's right beside the river. The perfect place for the roots to get continual nourishment for the tree. Let me tell you something I think you probably already know. You don't drift into spiritual maturity. You don't get there by accident. You don't accidentally find yourself in a vibrant relationship with God. The tree that bears fruit, the man, is the man or the woman who delights in the Lord. And that's someone who has made an intentional choice to root themselves where they can grow. Proverbs 12:3 says this, "The root of the righteous shall not be moved." The strength of your life depends on where your roots grow. By the way, the kind of place that you put down your root will determine what kind of fruit you get as well. When you're planted near the Word of God, you're constantly drinking in truth. And even when life is dry, you've got a source that the world cannot see. While others are chasing emotional highs, you'll have an underground strength, a steady stream that keeps you thriving, not just alive, but thriving and growing. You know what I find in this crazy world? We are in a day and an age where people want the fruit without the root. They want results without a relationship. They want growth without being grounded. Psalm 1 says that the blessed man is like that tree planted, not just flying around in the wind, but something that is rooted ground. You know, when you do go to a nursery, I'm talking about a tree nursery, not the one in our church here, you see these tags on all the different trees. Some of them say full sun. Some of them say, you know, requires much water or moist soil or slow growing. This one can tolerate shade. This one has to be full sun. Those tags are there for a reason. Why is that? Because trees do not grow well just anywhere. Every tree cannot grow perfectly everywhere you want to plant one. The gardener has to read the tag. He looks at the soil where he wants to plant. He studies how much light it's going to get. And he says, this one needs to go right here. And this type of tree has to go right here. He places that tree where it's going to grow best with purpose and intentionality. That's what God has done with you in your life. Right today. He has planted you right where He wants you, right where He knows you will not just survive, but you will thrive. That might mean He put you in a solid church. Amen. I hope in a godly home, in a circle of friends who will sharpen you, but there may be different seasons of life where maybe you go through a quiet season where He can really go deep with you. Wherever He plants you, He provides the river of His Word as your source of life. But you still have to stay planted. You still have to let those roots grow deep. Think about just several months ago now when Helene came in. Even in our community, there were so many trees down. The water had softened the ground and the wind came in. But a lot of the trees, the roots went out this way, but they didn't go very deep. And it'll turn the whole thing over, and you see this big dirt clod come halfway. There's a house at the end of one of the roads. There's probably 20 trees down back there. And I fear that just like a tree that can be knocked over with a strong wind, a young believer can be pulled away from the things of the Lord if they don't stay anchored, if they don't allow their roots to go down deeply. You start skipping your time in the Word. You start missing a day here or a day there in your devotions. You start missing a service or two at the local church. You surround yourself with those voices that are not speaking truth, that are not edifying, that are not helping you to grow. You cut off your roots from the very thing that are keeping you alive, and then we're surprised when the wind comes and we are discouraged in some way. Jeremiah 17:7-8 puts it this way. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And then it goes on to say, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. And it finishes up saying, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. It's not about being in the perfect environment. It's about being in the right environment. The one God has planted for you. Or I should say, the one you have been planted in by God. You don't need something to help you to escape reality. We have a whole generation that are looking for ways to escape the reality of their life. Whether it's some screen or even a book, anything that you can just check out for a little while. Listen, God's given you the coping mechanisms, if you want to call it that. It's called His Word, and it's called the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Word, not a way to escape reality. That's the river, the Word of God. That's where your roots are going to grow deep. I think if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we wake up and we feel a little spiritually dry. I think that's when we need to see how much that we're getting from the Word. You say, well, I read my Bible. Did you get something from your time with God? Did you walk away with something that helped you? Because it's not just about reading a checklist. The Bible is not a genie's lamp where we just say, oh, I read 17 verses and suddenly I have a close relationship with God. Reading His Word is part of our devotion. That's why we call it devotions. But just reading words on a page does not help us connect with God. We have to ask Him for something from His Word. We need to glean a truth that is going to help us in our walk that day. God has never planted a tree to fail, but He does plant them to flourish. He wants you to flourish. But He wants you to stay by the river. You've got to stay rooted where you can be fed. So He's planted you on purpose right where you're at. It's not a mistake. Secondly, the one that is planted on purpose bears fruit that matters. Look at verse 3 again. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I fear that most people live to be noticed rather than live to be fruitful. And there's a big difference between being busy and being productive. Sometimes we can just find ourselves doing a lot of things. In a sense, we're making a lot of commotion, but we're not having any forward motion. We want to find something that's going to cause our life to count for eternity. Someone tells us that the blessed man doesn't just avoid the wrong crowd or just delight in the right book, but he begins to bear fruit that matters. You know, God's Word doesn't just make us wiser. It makes us fruitful. It makes you to produce fruit. You see, when you're truly rooted in Scripture, when your delight is in the law of the Lord and your heart is saturated in truth, something starts to grow in you that you could never manufacture on your own. You can't do it. We used to have a bowl that sat on top of our refrigerator. It was there for a long time. I'd forgotten about it. I don't know how we found it. I think we were getting something out of one of the cupboards. I was on a chair, and I said, what is it? And there was fruit. It was plastic. Plastic fruit. It looked great. It had a little dust on it. But you know, I don't think I'd want to take a bite of that. Do you know where I see a lot of plastic fruit? I don't really see it. I have people tell me, but I don't really on Facebook. But I'll tell you, social media, I get the sense there's a lot of fake fruit on there. Life is always great. You always get your raise. You always get perfect grades. You have the perfect relationship with God and with your spouse and with your whoever it is. That's not reality. And I'm not here trying to to give you something tonight that says, "Lo, listen, if you just spend time in God's Word, you're never going to go through difficulties." That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that when you walk with God, He will produce something in you that is genuine, that is real. And people will see it. You won't even have to post it on the InstaFace. All right? Yeah, that's it. We don't need fake fruit that provides no nourishment to anyone around us. It looks good on the outside, but real living will give you lasting fruit. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law," the Bible says. And the idea is that God is doing something in you because you are spending time with Him. That's what God grows in the life of a Word-saturated believer. It's not something that just flashes out or flames out. It doesn't need to be liked by others. It's a quiet strength. It's a deep, abiding love, a consistent joy, a long-suffering that is lasting. But I've got some bad news. Fruit doesn't produce overnight. That kind of fruit isn't instant. Somebody once said, "You can't grow fruit in a microwave." I like that. The text says, "His fruit in His season." Not your season. Not mine. But God's season. His. That means God has a timeline for your growth. You ever think about that? God's timetable is almost, I can't say universally 100%, but almost always slower than ours. We want shortcuts. We want roots. But we want the spotlight moments. You know what God wants? He wants that surrender, that secret surrender. A man once visited a vineyard and he asked the owner, "How soon will this vine bear grapes?" And the owner smiled and he said, "We don't expect fruit in year one or year two, maybe a few small clusters in year three, but in year four or five, if the root system is strong and if the pruning has been painful, the vine will begin to produce fruit. And once it starts, it will produce fruit for decades." That tells me a couple of things. One, you say, "Well, listen, I'm living for the Lord, but I don't see the fruit in my life that I want to see." It doesn't mean God's not working in your life. It means He might be rooting you deeper right now, getting you in a place where the fruit is going to be more impactful. He might be pruning some things away, some attitudes, some habits, some distractions out of your life. Those things that might be holding you back. Sometimes that pruning process is uncomfortable. Sometimes it's downright painful. But it's worth it. We spent a whole year really thinking about John 15, but verse 2 says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." I think of some of the most fruitful Christians that I know. Just godly individuals. And rarely would I consider them the loudest, the most visible, the most followed. They are the ones who have simply stayed faithful through the pruning. Just been consistent. They stayed in their Bible, even when the fruit didn't seem to be showing. They kept praying, even when the ceiling felt like brass and the heavens fell silent. They stayed humble and teachable and rooted. You know, sometimes we look at other people's lives. I was talking about on social media, but even in real life, we'll look at somebody and we'll look at their harvest and what kind of how I wish I had that fruit in my life. The grass is always greener, it seems like. You know what we don't take into consideration? We don't consider the seasons of their hidden faithfulness. You might see someone else's visible fruit, but you don't see the years of patient waiting and the quiet growth and the deep surrender and the trials and tribulations that helped them to get to where they are today. And I promise you, you wouldn't want to trade their trials and tribulation. You just want the fruit. You didn't see the late night tears and that slow, steady sanctification. You didn't see them digging into the Word when no one was looking, begging God for that peace that only He can give. Fruit doesn't come instantly. It grows in the soil of obedience, and it takes time. So what's our job as Christians? We can't force fruit. That's impossible. But it is to stay planted right where God has you. Stay near the water of God's Word. Stay in your local church. Stay accountable. Stay humble. Stay obedient. And in His season, He will bring forth His fruit. Isaiah 40:31 reminds us this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." You're familiar with Galatians 6:9. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Fruit that matters takes time that most are not willing to give. I fear a lot of people quit right before God brings them through. Don't quit. Don't quit. Stay faithful. And God will make you fruitful. But it's the harvest will come, but it's going to be in His time, not yours. That person is planted on purpose. That person bears fruit that matters. That person does not wilt when life gets hot. Look at that third phrase in Psalm 1, verse 3. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither." You know when leaves wither? It's when the roots run dry. It's when there's no nutrients going to the tree. But not this tree. Not the one found in Psalm 1. No, whatever the heat index was. I mean, we're in almost in August. We could say we're in August. When I go outside, it feels like August. It's hot, North Carolina, muggy. We go for a walk every morning, and it's supposed to be cooler in the morning. And it just feels like you're walking through a wet blanket, right? But a tree that's planted by the rivers of water has that underground source of strength. It's invisible, but it's constant. I tell you, I think that's what meditation and the Word does. As a matter of fact, earlier in this chapter, we were talking about the godly man is one that meditates on God's Word. God's Word and that meditation is going to keep you alive and thriving when others are burning out. It keeps your soul fresh. It keeps you going even when trials come. I did some study this afternoon on trees. Most trees are deciduous. Probably didn't even pronounce that right, but you don't know that. That means they drop their leaves in autumn to conserve the water and survive the cold. When the winds blow and the snows fall, the tree stands bare and dormant. But not all trees are like that. There's deciduous trees, and in opposition to that, there are evergreen trees. The evergreen tree, like a pine or a spruce or a fir, it retains its foliage all year round through the blazing summers and the bitter winters. Its needles stay green. Let me give you a little lesson. Its leaves are built differently. That's why. Evergreen leaves are narrow needles with a waxy coating and fewer pores, and so they lose far less water than broadleaves, making them resilient in drought or freezing conditions. Not only that, but the evergreen trees, its roots are deep and they go out wide. They often develop vast root systems that tap into hidden water sources, even in dry or frozen soil. Not only that, let me give you one last thought on it. Its metabolism is slow but steady. While other trees shut down in winter, evergreen trees keep functioning, just at a slower pace. In a sense, they're not flashy, but they're faithful. That's why the evergreen tree thrives when others fade. It's designed to endure what would cause other trees to break and wither. You know, just as the evergreen tree doesn't shed its leaves under pressure, the believer that is meditating on God's word day and night spiritually doesn't shrivel when life gets cold. Their soul isn't subject to the different seasons of life. Their strength doesn't dry up in drought. Their joy, their peace, their endurance, it remains fresh. Why? Because he's drawing from that deep, hidden river of God's word, of Scripture. Even when the surroundings are growing harsh, there's that deep, untapped nutrients that are feeding the roots. We're living in a world of bare branches. People all around us are looking for something more. And I'll tell you, a godly man and a godly woman rooted in God's word stands out like an evergreen in a winter, strong, steady, and still green. Oh, the godly man, the blessed man, is planted on purpose. The blessed man bears fruit that matters. He doesn't wilt when life gets hot. Let me give you one last thought. He also prospers God's way. He prospers God's way. Look at the last phrase on Psalm 1, verse 3. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now listen, don't misunderstand that. As soon as you see that word prosper, I see some eyes light up. Oh, this is the way to prosper. This isn't a blank check for money or some kind of blank check for fame or comfort even. This is not a vending machine promise. You insert a verse and you get your new car. That's not what it's saying. But I will tell you something far better than that. Far better. Psalm 1:3 is a promise of spiritual stability, fruitfulness, usefulness, when you walk in the truth of God's word. This here is a promise that God blesses the path of those who walk according to his word. Real success, real stability, real impact. It's not temporal, it's eternal. I used to have a pastor when we first got, not when I first got saved, but when we moved to Tennessee, he would always say this, obedience brings blessings. Is that true? Yeah, I believe it is. When you live your life according to God's word, he blesses that. Now, the Hebrew word used for prosper here carries the idea of breaking through, of moving forward, succeeding in the direction that you're heading. It's not about getting rich. It's about living right. It's about making your life count for something, because it's rooted in something unshakable. The man or the woman who delights in God's word doesn't just avoid sin. They don't just love God's word. They are advancing in righteousness. They are living their life in accordance with God's will. Let me tell you, that's what true success looks like to God. They're not just spinning their wheels. They're not chasing the wind. The blessed man here in Psalm 1 is not wasting energy on those things that won't carry anything into eternity. No, this is the believer who walks in the will of God, makes their decisions based on the truth of God's word. And then guess what? They reap the quiet, powerful fruit of a word-filled life. I mean, that's what God promised Joshua before he ever picked up the sword. He told him in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." He goes on to say, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Success. You want your way prosperous? You want to have good success according to God's definition? Spend time in the Word. Be a man of the Word. Be a woman of the Word. You see, a Word-filled life leads to a God-directed life, and that kind of life is blessed. Again, I'm not promising no hardships, but I'm promising you that God is going to help you to get through those. I think, when I think about prosperity, aligning your life with God's will, I think there's some ways that we can define that. What that prosperity looks like. It looks like a clear conscience before God. It looks like a steady walk, somebody that is not unstable in all their ways. It looks like a fruitful life, someone that is serving others and God is using to be a blessing to those around them. A life that doesn't crash and burn when the storms of life come into their life. I just want to make it clear, God's not promising you an easy life. We live in a sin-cursed earth, but one day all that will disappear. But He is promising you a worthwhile life. A life that matters, a life that bears fruit in its season. A life that when everything is said and done, it will still count for eternity. That's successful. I mean, think about Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, tossed into a pit, sold into slavery. You know the story. Now, to me, when I look at the definition of prosperity, I don't see Joseph's first half of his life in that definition at all. But God's Word says this in Genesis 39:2, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." That's staggering. How is that possible? Because Joseph stayed faithful. He stayed faithful. Because God's hand was on his life. And because God measures success differently than we do. I want you to think about a hiker. Somebody that is strong, they have their pack on them, they're motivated, they're full of energy, but they don't have a compass, they don't have a map, they have no idea where they're headed, really. Now, they might be able to move fast and cover a lot of ground, but you know what that means? It means he could be getting lost all that much faster. Now give that same hiker a map and a compass and teach him how to use it. Maybe he doesn't move as fast and the trail is still steep, but every step then has purpose. Every step has meaning. And every decision is guided, and that causes him to go in the right direction. That's what the Word of God does. It doesn't promise smooth sailing, but it promises that you're not going to shipwreck your life. It helps align our choices with God's will. It keeps our heart from drifting and getting cold. It corrects our direction when we start to wander and veer off God's path for our life. You want a life that is truly successful? Then keep your nose in this book. Spend time with God every single day. Let God's Word shape your values, to guard your choices, to direct your path. Because prosperity, real prosperity, isn't about getting what you want. It's about becoming what God wants. That's what prosperity is. And so when we think about the one that is blessed of God, when we think about the prosperity of the gospel, or excuse me, the prosperity of the godly, we think of those four things. We think that, wow, I just lost my place. Sorry. Let me just read through the verse. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." We are planted on purpose. "That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The question is, do we see fruit? And if not, is he working in our life? His leaf also shall not wither. We're designed to be different than the world around us. And how we react to the circumstances of our life, both positive and negative. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Maybe tonight you need to realign your thinking on what prosperity looks like. And make sure it aligns with God's definition. Oh, listen, there's a whole theology of prosperity out there. That's wrong thinking. God's not promised to give you a Rolls Royce or your own personal jet. I'm not saying it's not God's will for your life, but probably not. I am saying God's definition of prosperity is fulfilling his will in your life. And the way we'll do that is walk with him every single day. We're going to look, Lord willing, next time at the misfortune of the ungodly in verses 4 and 5. But until then, let's thank God. He gives us the ability to be the blessed man or woman of Psalm 1. All right? Let's go ahead and take some prayer requests. If you filled out a prayer request card, we've got some young fellows here that are collecting them. There's one over on this side. I'm going to read you one that I got